We are exactly halfway through the 8 o'clock hour. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you here. My thanks once again to the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert, for stepping in and chatting with us during the Wealthwise moment. If you missed any portion of that, it'll be up on the KXFM website. You can pull down the podcast page, and there it is. Well, this entire week, we are meeting the candidates. And of course, very important election coming up. It is city council candidates. There are 7 candidates to fill 3 spots. One of those candidates we've had our eye on for a while here, and I'm delighted to have him in the studio. He's currently the chair of the Housing and Human Services Committee. We welcome Alex Ranaghi in. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here.
It's great to have you this morning. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate you. You appear to be a morning guy. You're all wide awake and you're quite alert and everything. So, all right. Well, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for taking the
Thank
time
you.
With us. Did you, and since you are so alert in the morning, did you stay up late and watch the city council meeting last night?
I did.
All right. I figured you would. You have mentioned on many of these forums and as you talk to people in the community that public safety is the first responsibility of city council and city management. Tell me your thoughts about last night's conversation involving the hiring of a deputy fire chief. And George had mentioned that the analysis was thin, yet he voted for it. But did you agree with that, that the analysis was thin? And give me your thoughts on last night.
Well, yeah, like I said before, there's no issue more important to Laguna Beach than addressing the threat of fire. And that's the top priority of city government. And if I'm elected, that's what my top priority will be as well. Hiring the deputy fire chief, I think, is something that is a great move for our city. We need, I've talked to the fire department extensively, and one of the issues that they see is they need more of upper level management to be able to help with some of these long-term projects. At the same time, we have not increased the number of firefighters in Laguna Beach over the past 20 years or so, which is very interesting compared to all the other departments across the city. The staff have increased substantially, but our fire department has not. So I would have supported the move last night, and I think it's a great way to give more to have more leaders in the fire department and to keep our community safe.
Okay, you speak often about making government more efficient, how do we make city government more efficient and cut through red tape? What are just some of the basics for you?
Well, I guess I'll start with the Mike Bloomberg quote that I always use: "In God we trust, everyone else bring data." I really believe that data-driven decision-making is how you can make any organization more efficient, whether it's business, government, a nonprofit. It's just how you make good decisions, where you follow the evidence, you look at what the best practices are out there, and then you focus on continual improvement. How do you make, with each decision that you make, how do you make things better? How do you reduce the wait times at City Hall? How do you process more applications? How do you reduce the number of crimes in the city? I think data-driven government is how you do that. I've seen that at the county level, where I've worked as a policy advisor for Supervisor Foley. And what we've worked on is initiatives just like this to ask the tough questions about what are the performance metrics for this contract? How does the $8 billion, $8.8 billion now,
right,
county budget, how does that work for the taxpayers of Orange County? I think that is how you can make government more efficient and make it work for the and safeguard taxpayer dollars.
Do we pressure county government to be more efficient? Can the city pressure county government?
Well, I think the city can make ourselves more efficient. Right. That's what I'm focused on.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. And in that, you often, and in fact, you said it during our last forum.
Yes.
That currently, for a lot of things, we're using outdated technology.
Yes.
That nowadays, for instance, there's zoning software,
yep,
where you can, instead of calling the city, you can figure it out yourself.
Exactly.
Explain what you mean. Explain to the audience exactly what that software is.
Well, I think everything at City Hall needs to be designed to the user, which is the citizen of Laguna Beach.
Right.
And so whether it's the city website, whether it's trying to go through the plan, through the zoning and plan check process, whether it's maybe you want solar panels on your roof, it should be as easy and convenient and accessible as possible. And that has the added benefit of also reducing the amount of time staff have to spend on fielding phone calls and things like that. That's not to say that you shouldn't be able to call staff to get an answer. You should, absolutely. Right. It's all about making City Hall as user-friendly as possible, and technology should be part of that.
Okay. And I want to shift for just a second and maybe take a left turn into some affordable housing questions.
Yeah.
Currently, you were quoted as saying there's 4 police officers and 2 firefighters that currently live in town. Those are the locals, and then everyone else lives somewhere else. I know it's a safety issue, so should first responders be on some sort of a voucher program maybe to subsidize their rent here? Is that a possibility? Is that something you would see?
Absolutely, and I've talked about the fire department and the police about this exact issue. One of the challenges they have, particularly for younger recruits, is that they can't live in town, and they live so far away that it makes it harder for them to come work here, and it makes them more likely to want to work somewhere else that's closer to where they actually live. So I think there's a couple ways we can tackle this issue. The first is, if the city moves forward with an affordable housing project, which I hope we do on city-owned land, I'd like to have a set-aside for police and fire, because I see that as both an issue of having them part of our community, which is an added benefit, but it's also a public safety issue. We're a city with 3 entrances. And so the idea that we could be trapped and our fire and police would be not able to reach us is something that's a real concern. So that's one idea. Another idea would be to work with private property owners to have them through a voluntary program to see if they'd be willing to rent to a fire to someone who's a firefighter or police officer. And I think there's a benefit for them, because I mean, who wouldn't want a police officer living in your apartment building?
Right. Would we offer them benefits, any kind of financial benefits?
Yeah.
What would we offer the homeowner or the property owner for a private partnership?
Yeah, we could figure out a benefit that works for both parties.
Right.
I'm also interested in the idea of looking at ADUs. We have a lot of ADUs in the pipeline.
Right.
Having some incentives to rent your ADU to a firefighter or police officer, that's something that should be on the table. So it's an issue that I'm very interested in finding solutions for. And I think it's actually a countywide issue and a statewide issue. So it's something where Laguna Beach could be a leader in ensuring that our public safety first responders are living in our community.
Okay. The median Orange County price to live here is $1,867 or somewhere in that neighborhood. Here in Laguna Beach, should that be the price? Should that be what we're expecting rents to be? A 2-bedroom, 2-bath here in Laguna, because how expensive should it be, or what should we be following the county median price when we're pricing here, especially for those first responders or teachers or whatever?
Well, ultimately, when it's market housing, the market's going to decide, and I know for a fact that it costs a lot more to live in Laguna Beach.
Yeah,
than
it does.
18, I mean, that would be a dream, wouldn't it?
2-bedroom, 2-bath at 1800? Yeah. You kidding me?
But yeah, we should be. That's a question, I think, of how the state HCD policies. I think that for them, they look at the county median. But I think we should look at that.
Okay, you spoke about an interesting paradigm shift we could be a part of, and this is related to the Coastal Commission.
Yes.
What kind of shift, and how would you use San Diego's model for Laguna when approaching the Coastal Commission?
Yes. So I think that for years, the Coastal Commission's job and it will continue to be this, is to ensure that Californians have access to the coast, right? That's part of the Constitution, and it was passed by initiative decades ago. That's something we all support. But access to the coast doesn't mean access by car to the coast. And so that was the question, was about having resident parking permit in South Laguna, which is a huge issue when you have the beachgoers who basically take up the whole neighborhood and residents aren't able to park in their own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's an issue. So to me, I think you can ensure that there's access to the coast while still protecting the neighborhoods and providing transit and other opportunities that would reduce the traffic into our city, which helps cleans up our environment. And it also helps clean up our coast, because the Coastal Commission has another role aside from access to the coast, and that's protecting the coast. And so when there's so many cars coming into our city, when there's so many people coming to our beaches, and the impacts of that aren't mitigated, that undermines the coast and makes it less likely for future generations to enjoy it. So I think that there could be a paradigm shift. Like I said before, San Diego passed an ordinance that had zero parking requirements for new developments. That's something that would not have happened 10 years ago, right. But they were creative about it and they pushed for it. And so that's what I would like to do with the Coastal Commission.
Okay. And as you see, not just San Diego, but you're in other communities here in our beach stretch, as I call it. What are they doing better than us? Are there communities specifically that you have your eye on, stuff that we envy that we could be doing?
As it relates to
parking, as it relates to congestion?
Well, I don't know. I do think like we were the model for the trolley system. Now everyone else has copied us. So on that regard,
we were the leaders.
We were the leaders. Right. And I think that we can continue that leadership and be the public transit model for Orange County and for the state. So I'd like to continue that. I think I'm trying to think of what other communities have done around us. But yeah, I think in that regard, we are the leader and we can always do more.
Okay. All right. We know and have discussed extensively Measure Q.
Yes.
Measure Q is big and it's on the ballot.
It is.
You referred to it as almost a distraction when we brought it up the other night at the forum.
Yes.
And it kind of is. And you said we should be focused on the long term things that we've been worrying about for years here in Laguna. And most candidates, including you, have voiced their concerns over it. Peter called it a quagmire. Sue said it was bad for Laguna. Lewis said it was recklessly crafted. But we haven't really covered measures R and S. Speak to us briefly on your thoughts on those two measures.
Yeah, I think they're similar to Measure Q in that it's an effort to go to the ballot box to achieve policy goals. I prefer a policy process where we're sitting down, we're bringing all the stakeholders together, we're finding solutions, finding common ground to address some of the challenges that we face. So that's my preference. I think ballot box planning is never ideal. And like I've said multiple times, the only way to change ballot something that goes on the ballot is to go back to the ballot. And so it's just not a good way to make public policy. There's a lot of unintended consequences. And so my approach is for the city to be more proactive at addressing some of these long-term challenges and taking them on and making tough decisions, but kind of listening, collaborating, finding common ground.
Okay. A couple of matters that I've asked a couple of the other candidates about I'd like to discuss with you. Coast Highway and safety along Coast Highway. Yep. It's been big. Obviously, the gentleman that was run over in the crosswalk brought it back to light. Purchasing taking over Coast Highway from Caltrans for the city, something you're seeing?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and I think I was one of the first people who talked about this issue during the debate, and I think it's a no-brainer. Obviously, we need to look at the feasibility of it. We have to look at the liability, but with liability, there's something called insurance. So we can protect ourselves against the liability that way.
Right.
CDM has done this in Newport Beach. Dana Point has done this. I talked to Councilmember Carr, who's doing this in Huntington Beach. I think it's a no-brainer because we can control our own destiny right here. We can have more traffic calming measures that reduce the speed of cars. We can reduce the speed limit. It's just really not safe right now, but it's not safe for cars. It's not safe for pedestrians. It's not safe for bikes.
Right.
And I think it's part of a longer conversation we need to have about the what I would call a crisis in our streets. You know, e-bikes are a huge concern. We have middle schoolers and high schoolers riding these e-bikes all over, and they're motorcycles to some degree.
Right.
And e-bikes are an opportunity in the sense that it gives more people the ability to ride bikes, which is a good thing.
Right.
But if we don't build the right infrastructure to make sure that they can ride them in Laguna Beach while being safe, then someone's going to get killed. And just a couple of weeks ago, someone was driving by the high school and they got hit by a car and it's a kid. And so we need to be looking, I know there's limits about how we can regulate e-bikes, but I think we need a comprehensive look at our streets and how we can make them safer for residents and visitors alike.
All right. Without getting into the comprehensive look right here on the program, yep. Ideas that, okay, you're sitting on the council, it's a year from now, and we now have control, let's say we've taken control of Coast Highway from Caltrans. What specific speed slowing measures, extra speed bumps, what do you envision? What's in your head about how this stretch of Coast Highway looks?
Yeah, well, I mean, wouldn't that be great if that could happen in just a year?
That would be a dream. I know. I'm walking down the beach with a dream here.
Well, so I don't have all the answers because I'm not an expert on the issue, but and that's what I would rely on is the experts and the evidence. But some ideas would include narrowing the lanes. When you narrow the lanes, it makes cars move slower.
Okay.
That's one option. Another option is making it having a bike lane potentially, which you could do with narrowing the lanes.
Right.
Another option would be to have, I've heard about, speed bumps at the crosswalks, something like that. So I like the idea of having medians in the middle of the street, like you see in CDM and Dana Point.
Right.
So all options should be on the table, but I think really the key thing is we need to have local control over it. And once we do that, then we're going to be able to make all these decisions, and we're going to need to kind of have a department at the city that's focused on this, because right now we don't have transportation planners at the city.
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly a longer conversation, but I think we need to do it.
Okay. All right. And Glen Erie, same thing. You'd be in favor of maybe lighting up Glen Erie in certain spots?
Absolutely. Having more traffic calming measures, having maybe narrowing the lanes.
Right.
All options should be on the table.
Okay. Let's talk quickly about Tiamo in South Laguna. Yesterday, a couple of days ago, Peter was on and mentioned the fact that, yes, it was a property we bought, but imagine the profit that we'll pocket after selling it, and we can utilize that for other things here within the city. Yesterday, when we spoke to Lewis Weil, he said, no, hang on to it for a while, let that profit grow, and then think about maybe selling. What are your thoughts on the Tiamo building?
I think that it needs to be part of our long-term strategic financial plan. So I would need to look at the budget, look at what our five-year plans are, what are some of the projects we want to tackle, and what's the financial capabilities that we have to take on those projects, and then view Tiamo through that perspective. I know that with anything that the government wants to sell, we're going to need to go through the Surplus Land Act, which takes like 6 months.
Right.
So I generally am in favor of probably selling it because we'll need to pay for the fire station and there's a lot of other acquisitions that we're making. But I'm all about ensuring that our budget and our taxpayer dollars are for the highest and best use.
Okay.
And so if Tiamo, if having that is the highest and best use, then I'd be supportive. But you can't look at that in a silo. You have to look at that in the context of all the different capital improvements, all the acquisitions we as a city would like to make.
Okay, and I need to clarify Mr. Weil's position. He actually said keep it and then perhaps we might need it as a lifeguard station, another police station, or something, bathrooms even.
Yeah.
So that as well. But you're talking about selling it.
Well, no, I think I couldn't make that decision in a silo. I'd have to look at the strategic financial plan and look at what are the other, is it better to keep it or use that money for a better project.
Okay.
So I don't have the information in front of me. I would need to look at the whole budget.
Right. And I tell my audience often that the thing that we enjoy about you is the fact that you won't answer something if you're not well studied on it. And I absolutely love that.
Well, I don't think it's not well studied. I just think it's that you can't make these we have to be making decisions as a city, looking at the budget as a whole and spend more time on that.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm saying.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. As you, and you're a lifetime resident of Laguna Beach. You grew up here.
Yes.
When you see Forest Avenue now and the promenade and you think about it 10 years from now, how does it look to you?
Well, I hope there's no cars on it. I love the way it is. I love the promenade. I'm looking forward to the listening session, which I think is tomorrow.
Yes.
I've heard different people talking about changing the name of it to the Forest or something like that, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
I would like to see music on the promenade. I'd like to see artists there. I'd like to see maybe some coffee carts. I really want it to be a unique experience for residents to enjoy and to meet each other. Because I think one of the challenges that we have in society these days is there's not enough of neighbors kind of coming together and talking to each other, and that leads to people just being on next door all day and attacking each other. So I'm all about opportunities for kind of community space and bringing people together, and that's what the promenade, I hope it does.
All right, and let me ask you a 10-year in the future question about the rest of Laguna Beach. How do you see the rest of our town looking in 10 years? How do you see visitors? How does our town look in 10 years?
Well, I hope that the town looks the same in that it's not overdeveloped. I hope that we're able to keep the unique charm that makes Laguna so special. I hope that we're able to have residents who are interesting, you know, people from diverse perspectives, not just a lot of second and third homes, which in some ways is kind of the trajectory that we're on. Right. I hope that artists can still be in Laguna Beach. I hope that, and then as it relates to visitors, I would like to see us focus more on the two things that make Laguna Beach so unique, the arts and the environment.
Right.
So I talked about this during the Arts Alliance Forum, but things like the Coast Film Festival, I'd like to see us do more things like that for visitors right. and for residents alike, where, you know, we bring in different, whether it's documentaries or whether it's cultural events, whether it's book fairs, things that really speak, that are in line with the values of our town and things that residents would like to see. I'd like to see more of that in our city, and I think that's how the kind of visitors we want to.
Right. Last question before I let you go. Several years ago, Bob Whalen had started talking about undergrounding. We are still talking about undergrounding. We suffered through two near-miss fires this year, wind direction being the only thing that that saved us, really, and the fact that there weren't fires anywhere else.
Yep.
You get into the city, and again, I'm using that 1 year from now thing, but let's say you get into the city council. What are your efforts going to be to push for undergrounding?
Yeah. Well, like I said luck is not a strategy as it relates to fire. We need to be doing everything in our power to make undergrounding happen. Bob Whalen and Sue Kempf have been the leaders on this, and I'm very proud to have their endorsement. So what would I do? I would work with our partners at all levels of government to get money. So I think the federal government, the Congress recently brought back earmarks where members of Congress can include specific budget asks in the budget and get money without going through the regular process. So I would go to Senator Feinstein, Senator Padilla to get money. I was a page for Senator Feinstein, so I would try to get money from her. I would work with our member of Congress to bring back money. I would talk to our state members. So I would just have a strategy to engage all levels of government. And I think we'd also need some money at the local level to make that happen. But I just think we need to treat it as a crisis and explain that to representatives at all levels of government. And if we do, we can hopefully get the money that we need.
Wonderfully put. Thank you. AlexForLaguna.com is your website. What do you want our listeners to know before you go?
I love Laguna Beach. I'm so lucky to grow up here. I'm running because I want to preserve and enhance the uniqueness that makes Laguna Beach so special and tackle some of these long-term challenges that we've talked about for a long time, but it's time to take action on. I would be honored to earn your vote, and thank you for listening.
We're honored to have you here this morning. We wish you all the best on the campaign trail. Alex Ranaghi, alexforlaguna.com is his website. Check him out. Thank you so very much, Alex. We appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Ed.
All right. 8:52 the time.
Oh, wow, that was...